8th chapter, subject vision of universal form. After this incident, Vasudeva asked his family priest, Gargamuni, visit the place of Nanda Maharaj in order to astrologically calculate the future life of Krishna. Gargamuni was a great saintly sage, underwent much austerities and penances, and was appointed priest of the Jodhu dynasty. When Gargamuni arrived at the place of Nanda Maharaj, he was very much pleased to see him, and immediately he stood up with folded hands and offered respectful obeisances unto the sage. He received Gargamuni with a feeling of worshipping the sage as good as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Nanda Maharaj offered him a nice sitting place, and when he sat down, Nanda Maharaj offered him all kinds of reception, and after this, addressing him very politely, he said, my dear Brahmin, your appearance in the house of householders like this is only to lighten us, because we are always engaged in household duties, forgetting our real duty of self-realization. So your coming to our house means to give us some enlightenment about spiritual life. Without us, you have no other business to visit the house of the householder. Actually, a saintly person or a Brahmin has no business to go to the householders who are always busy in the matter of pound selling pence. The only purpose of saintly person and Brahmins to go to the householder's place is to enlighten them. And if it is argued why the householders do not go to the saintly person or the Brahmin for enlightenment, the answer is given that they are very poor-hearted. Generally, the householders think that their engagement in family affairs is a prime duty. Self-realization or enlightenment in spiritual knowledge is secondary to them. As such, out of compassion only, the saintly persons and Brahmins go to the householders' place. That's why Nanda Maharaj addressed Gargamuni as one of the great authorities in astrological science. The foretelling of astrological science, such as the occurrence of solar or lunar eclipses and many other foretelling, are wonderful. Calculation of astrological science, and by the help of this particular knowledge, a person can understand future very clearly. So Gargamuni was accredited with this knowledge. By dint of this knowledge, one can understand what was his previous activities, and so that the result of such activities one may enjoy or suffer in this life. Then again, Nanda Maharaj addressed Gargamuni as the best of the Brahmins. The Brahmins means one who is expert in the knowledge of the Supreme. Without the knowledge of the Supreme Absolute, nobody cannot be recognized as Brahmin. The exact word used in this connection, Brahma Vidam, of those who know the Supreme very nicely. Such expert Brahmin is able to give reformatory facilities to the sub-castes, namely the Kshatriyas, Vaishyas, the Shudras have no reformatory performances. Therefore, Brahmin is considered to be the spiritual master or priest for the Kshatriyas and the Vaishyas. Nanda Maharaj happened to be a Vaishya, and he accepted Gargavani as a first-class Brahmin. Therefore, he offered his two foster sons, namely Krishna and Balaram, for being purified by him. He agreed that not only for these boys, but for all human beings, just after their birth, they must accept a qualified Brahmin as the spiritual master. Upon this request, Gargamuni replied that Vasudev has sent me for reformatory performances of these boys, especially for Krishna, and I am their family priest. Therefore, incidentally, it appears that Krishna is the son of Devaki. In other words, Gargamuni, by his astrological calculation, he could understand that Krishna was the son of Devaki, but he was kept under the care of Nanda Maharaj, which Nanda Maharaj did not know. So indirectly he said that this child, Krishna, as well as Balaram, they are sons of Vasudev. Of course, Baladev was known as son of Vasudev because his mother was present there, Rahini. But about Krishna, Nanda Maharaj did not know. So Gargamuni indirectly disclosed the fact that Krishna appears to be son of Devaki. Gargamuni also warned Nanda Maharaj that if he would perform the reformatory ceremonies of Krishna, then Kamsa, who is naturally very sinful, may not understand that Krishna is the son of Devaki and Vasudev. Besides that, according to astrological calculation, Devaki could not have a female child, although everyone knows that the eighth child of Devaki was a female child. But the foretelling was that his eighth child would be a male child. This way, Gargamuni gave the real hint to Nanda Maharaj that the female child was born of Yashoda mother, whereas Krishna was born of Devaki, but they appear to be exchanged. Besides that, the female child, Durga, also informed Kamsa that the child who would kill him is already born somewhere else. And if I give your child a name, and if he corroborates the foretelling of the female child to Kamsa, then it may be that the sinful demon may come and kill this child also. Then, after the name-giving ceremony by me, it may not be that I become responsible for all these future calamities. On hearing the words of Gargamuni, Nanda Maharaj said that if there is such doubt, it is better that I shall not make any gorgeous name-giving ceremony. Better, you simply chant the Vedic hymns, perform the purificatory process, because we belong to the twice-born past. I take this opportunity of your presence. You can perform the name-giving ceremony without any external pomp. In other words, Nanda Maharaj wanted to keep the name-giving ceremony of Krishna secret without anyone's knowledge, but he wanted to take advantage of Gargamuni's presence to perform the ceremony. When Gargamuni was so eagerly requested by Nanda Maharaj, he then performed the name-giving ceremony as secretly as possible in the cow shed of Nanda Maharaj. He informed Nanda Maharaj that this child, son of Rohini, his attitude will be very much pleasing to his family members, relatives. Therefore, he would be called as Rama. At the same time, this child in future will be extraordinarily very strong. Therefore, he would be called Balram. But at the same time, your family and the family of the Jodhus, being so intimately connected and attracted, so his another name should be Sankarsan. This means the Gargamuni awarded three names to the son of Rohini, namely Balaram, Sankarsan, and Baladeva. But he carefully did not disclose the fact that Balaram also appeared in the womb of Devaki, but he was subsequently transferred to the womb of Rohini. In other words, Krishna and Balaram are real brothers, being originally sons of Devaki. Gargamuni then informed Nanda Maharaj, so far your son is concerned, and this child has taken a different class and complexion of his body in different jewels in back at millennium. First of all, he has assumed the color of whiteness, then he has assumed the color of redness, and then again he has assumed the color of yellow. Now he has assumed the color of blackishness. Besides that, this child, sometimes before he was son of Vasudev, therefore his name should be Vasudev, as well as Krishna. In other words, some people will call him Krishna and some people will call him Vasudeva. But one thing you must know, that your this son has had many other names and activities, and all such names are differently fixed up on account of his different pastimes. In this connection, Gargamuni gave Nanda Maharaj future hint that his son would be called also Giridhari on account of his uncommon pastime of lifting the Govardhan Hill. He was a scholar and he could understand everything past and future. Therefore, he said that I know everything about his activities and name. Others I do not know. From all this, this nice child will be very much pleasing to all the cow husbandmen and cows also, thus being very much popular in Vrindavan, he will be the cause of our auspicity for you. And on account of his presence, he will overcome all kinds of calamities of material existence without any opposing elements. Bhagavani continued to say, my dear king of Braja, this child, formerly, his previous birth, many times he protected righteous persons from the hands of rogues and thieves. Whenever there was political disruption, he protected pious men from the onslaught of rogues and thieves. Your child is so powerful that anyone who will become a devotee of your boy will never be troubled by any enemies. Just like the demigods are always protected by Lord Vishnu, similarly the devotees of your child will always be protected by Narayan, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In a sense, this child would grow in power, beauty, opulence, in everything on the level of Narayana, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Therefore, I would advise that you would protect your son very carefully so that he may grow without any disturbance. In other words, Gaugamani informed Nanda Maharaj that because he was a great devotee of Narayana, so Lord Narayana has given a son unto him who is equal to him. At the same time, he indicated that your son will be disturbed by so many demons. So he would be careful to protect his son from such future disturbances. This way, Gaugamani convinced Nanda Maharaj that Narayana himself has become his son. And in various ways, he described the transcendental qualities of his son. After such information, when Gaugamani went back to his home, Nanda Maharaj began to think of himself as the most fortunate, and he was so much satisfied for being benedicted in such a way. After this incident, within a very short time, both Balaram and Krishna began to crawl by their knees and hands and began to move hither and thither. It was very pleasing to the Maharas. When Rama and Krishna were crawling like that, and the bells fixed up on the waist and their ankles sound very fascinatingly, they would move very pleasingly, and sometimes just like ordinary children being afraid of others, could immediately reach their mothers for protection. Sometimes they would fall over the clays and muds of Vrindavan. When the crawling children, Krishna and Balaram, would approach their mother, smeared with clay and saffron simultaneously, namely, they are actually smeared with saffron and sandalwood pulp by the mothers, but due to their crawling over a muddy clay, they simultaneously smear the body with clay and saffron pulp. they would come crawling to their mother, the mothers, namely Jasoda and Rohini, who would take them on their lap, and by covering with their pure portion of the sari, allow them to suck the breast. While the babies were sucking the breast, the mothers would see a small teeth coming within the mouth, and they would be intensified with joy seeing their child growing. Sometimes the naughty babies would crawl up to the cow's head place and catching the tail of a cow's stand up. The calf also being disturbed by such catching will immediately begin running here and there, and the child would be dragged on clay and cow dung. To see this fun, Jasoda and Rohini would call all their neighboring friends. The gopis, by seeing the childhood pastimes of Lord Krishna, would be immersed in a transcendental bliss, enjoy laughing very loudly. When both Krishna and Balaram were so restless, the mothers, Jasoda and Rohini, would try to protect them from cows, bulls, monkeys, and toads, water, birds. At the same time, they had to execute their household duties. So, always being anxious to protect the child and to execute the duties, they are not situated in tranquility of mind. In this way, within a very short time, both Krishna and Balaram began to stand up and slightly move on their legs. Krishna and Balaram began to move on their legs. Other friends of similar age joined them, and they all together began to give highest transcendental pleasure to the gopis, specifically to Maharaj Jasoda and Rohini. Next time, when all the gopis, friends of Jasoda and Rohini, and were enjoying the naughty childish activities of Krishna and Balaram in Vrindavan, in order to enjoy further transcendental bliss, all of them assembled together one day and went to Jasoda Maharaj to lodge complaint against the restless boys. Krishna was sitting before Mother Jasoda. All the elderly gopis began to lodge complaint against him so that Krishna could hear also. They said, "My dear Jasoda, why don't you restrict your party Krishna? Every day your Krishna along with Balaram would come to our house both morning and evening, and before milking the cows, they would let loose the calves so that the calves would drink all the milk of the cows. And when we go to milk the cows, we see there is no milk, and we come back with empty pot, because the calves had already drank all the milk. If we try to warn Krishna and Balaram why they did so, they simply smile so charmingly that we cannot do anything. Another complaint against your Krishna and Balaram is that they find it a great pleasure to steal our stock of jugger and a butter by stealing them from anywhere we keep. When Krishna and Balaram are caught stealing the jugger and butter, they would say, how do you charge us for stealing? Do you think that butter and sugar are in scarcity at our house? Sometimes they would steal the butter and sugar and milk and distribute to the monkeys. When the monkeys are fed well, they do not take any more. They would charge that this milk and butter and sugar are useless. Even the monkeys do not take it. This way, they would break the pots and throw hither and thither. If we keep our stock of jugad, butter and milk in a solitary, dark place, your Krishna and Balaram would find it out in the darkness by the glaring effulgence of the ornaments, a jewel in their body. If by chance they cannot find out the hidden butter and sugar, they would go to a little babies and pinch their bodies so that they may cry, and in this way they will go out. Sometimes, being afraid of these naughty boys, if we keep our stock of sugar and butter high in the ceiling, hanging on string, although the stock was hanging beyond their reach, they would arrange to reach by piling all kinds of sitting wooden cots over the grinding machine and reach the pot of butter and sugar. Even by piling up, if they could not reach the hanging butter and sugar, they would make a hole in the pot. We think, therefore, you better get all the jewel ornaments out from the body of your child. On hearing this, Jasodamai would say, all right, I am getting out all the jewels from the body of Krishna so that he may not see the butter and sugar hidden in darkness. Then the gopi will say, no, you don't do this, because what you will do by taking out the jewels, we do not know what kind of these naughty boys are. Even without ornament, they break some kind of effulgence, so that even in darkness they can see everything. Then Mother Jasoda would inform them, all right, then better keep your butter and sugar carefully so that they may not reach the place. In reply to this, the gopis said, yes, actually, we do so. But because we are sometimes engaged in our household duties, these naughty boys would enter our house some or other and spoil the whole thing. Sometimes they, being unable to steal our butter and sugar out of anger, they will pass urine on clean floor and sometimes spit on it. And now just see your boy, how he is hearing his complaints. That the whole day they would simply make arrangement how they could steal our butter and sugar, and now they are sitting just like a very silent good boy. Just see his face. Mother Jasoda, after hearing all the complaints lost by the gopis, when she desired to chastise her boy, Krishna, Sri Sha, the pitiable Sarisha Krishna, and began to smile and stop chastising him. Next verse. Another day, when Krishna and Balaram were playing along with their friends, all the friends combined together with Balaram, Lord complained to Mother Jasoda that Krishna had eaten clay from the earth. On hearing this complaint lodged by the boys, Mother Jasoda would catch hold of the hand of Krishna, and Krishna would be very much afraid of his mother and would see the face of his mother in a very attractive outlook. He said thereafter to Krishna, my dear Krishna, why you have eaten earth in solitary place? Just see, all your friends, including Balarama, they are complaining against you. After this, Krishna, being afraid of his mother, would reply, my dear mother, all these boys, including my elder brother Balarama, are all speaking lies against me. I have never eaten or taken any clay, and I do not know my elder brother Balarama also, while playing with me today, he became angry. Therefore, he has also joined with the other boys to complain against me. They have all combined together to complain against me so that you may be angry and chastise me. If you think that they are all truthful, then you can see within my mouth whether I have taken clay or not. Mother would reply, all right, if you have actually not taken any clay, then just open your mouth, I shall see whether there is any clay. But the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, was such ordered by his mother, he immediately opened his mouth just like an ordinary boy. When the Supreme Personality of Godhead opened the mouth, Mother Jasoda saw within that mouth complete opulence of creation. Saw within the mouth the entire outer space, all directions, mountains, islands, oceans, seas, planets, air, fire, moon, and the stars. Along with the moon and the stars, she also saw the entire elements like water, sky, extensive, ethereal existence, along with total ego and the products of the senses and the controller of the senses, all demigods, and the objects of the senses like sound, smell, etc., and the three qualities of material nature. She also could experience within the mouth that there were all the living entities, the eternal time, the material nature, the spiritual nature, the activity, the consciousness, and different forms of the whole creation. In one word, Jasoda could find within the face of his child everything that is meant for cosmic manifestation. He also saw within the mouth herself taking Krishna on the lap, sucking her breast. By seeing all this, she became struck with wonder and began to think whether she was dreaming or actually seeing something extraordinary. Began to think within herself whether actually this is dream or I am seeing the play of the illusory energy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, or whether she herself had become mad, deranged in her brain so that she was seeing all those wonderful things. Sometimes she was thinking it may be some mystic power has attained to my child. And therefore, sometimes am perplexed with such vision within the mouth of my child. So let me offer my respectful obeisance unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is beyond the expression of consciousness, mind, work, or philosophical speculation. Because everything, what is manifested and non-manifested, they are all products of his different energies. Father Dasuda began to offer her respectful obeisances to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, under whose energy the conception of bodily self and bodily possession are conceived. He said, let me offer my respectful obeisances unto him, under whose illusory energy I am thinking that Nanda Maharaj is my husband and Krishna is my son, and all the properties of Nanda Maharaj belongs to me, and all these cowherds, men and women, they are my subjects. All this misconception are due to the illusory energy of the Supreme Lord. So let me pray to him that he may protect me always. And Mother Yashoda was thinking in that high philosophical way, Lord Krishna again expanded his internal energy just to bewilder her with paternal affection. Immediately Mother Yashoda forgot all philosophical speculation, but she accepted Krishna as a born child. He took Krishna on her lap, became overwhelmed with filial affection. She thus began to think Krishna, who is understandable through the process of knowledge derived from Upanishad and Vedanta, strict Jewish system and Sankhya philosophy. She began to think the Supreme Personality of Godhead as her own begotten child. Certainly, Mother Yashoda had executed many, many past activities as a result of which she got the absolute truth, Supreme Personality of Godhead, as her son, who sucked milk from her breast. Similarly, Nanda Maharaj also must have had performed many great sacrifices and past activities so that Lord Krishna became his son and addressed him as father. But it is wonderful that Vasudeva and Devaki could not enjoy the transcendental bliss out of Krishna's childhood pastimes, although Krishna is the real son of Vasudeva and Devaki. The childhood pastimes of Krishna are glorified even after death by many, many sages and saintly persons, but Vasudeva and Devaki could not enjoy such childhood pastimes personally. This incident, why Vasudeva and Devaki could not enjoy the childhood pastimes of Krishna, is explained by Sukhdev Goswami to Maharaj Parikshit as follows. When the best of the Vasus of the name Drona, along with his wife Dhara, were ordered to increase progeny by Lord Brahma, they said unto Brahma, my dear father, we are seeking your benediction whenever we take Thank you. absorb the whole attention of them and their dealings with Krishna, simply hearing Krishna's childhood dealings with them, they would cross over the knees, hands of birth and death. From this, Lord Brahma accepted to give them the benediction, and as result of such benediction, the same Drona appeared as Nanda Maharaj in Vrindavan, and the same Dhara appeared as Mada Jasoda, the wife of Nanda Maharaj. In this way, Nanda Maharaj and his wife, Mother Jasoda, developed their unalloyed devotion upon the Supreme Personality of Godhead, having gotten him as their son. All the gopis and cowherds men who were associates of Krishna naturally developed their different feelings of love upon Krishna. Next, therefore, Lord Krishna, just to fulfill the benediction of Lord Brahma, appeared along with his plenary expansion, Balarama, executed all kinds of childhood pastimes in order to increase the transcendental pleasure of all residents of Vrindavan. Next, thus ends the Bhaktivedanta purport of the summary study of Krishna's universal form in the eighth chapter of Krishna.